Let's pray and ask God's help. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but we're going to trust God to make really good use of it. I believe God has really been leading this morning in a powerful way. And somebody's been praying about that. Let's ask God's help. Father, we thank you this morning for your greatness, your power, your might, for answered prayer. Lord, may we increase in confidence in prayer. We really need that right now in these days. So we do pray that you would enable us and help us. We can't do it ourselves. We need you. So we ask for your help. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for this message. We want to hear from heaven. We want to hear from our God. We want to become better and better for Christ. We want to be totally sold out to you. And we ask that you'll do that for all of us here today. Please break down our problems. Give us victory. And may we see you do great and mighty things right before our very eyes. So you lead us. You got us right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're keying in on verse number 18 as our key text as we consider the prayer journey. We are on a journey of prayer. In Sunday school this morning, we looked at Gideon, and we looked at the fleece, and he's heard from God. He has been told, I'm going to give you the victory. And then he goes and does the fleece thing, but he always says, as you have said. It's like, I know you said this. Now let's bring it home to ourselves. Aren't we just the same? So many times. That's the hurdle we've got to get over. That's the wall that we have to get crashed down. So that as we pray, we are going to prayer confident in Christ. Confident He hears. We know He hears us, right? And He's going to answer in some way, shape, or form. And we have got to get to the point in our lives where we really, really trust that's what's going to happen. He's going to do something. It's going to happen. And as we're on this prayer journey, this can happen for us. Maybe for some of you, you're already there. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? I would believe that some of us here this morning, you've already prayed for an hour today. You've got it in. You've got that hour in. But I'm asking you to pray some more this afternoon for the baptismal service tonight. So we want to see people get saved here tonight. All right, so let's go confidently to God in prayer about that. And let's see what He does tonight. There's going to be unsaved people here. There's going to be friends and family of these children who are going to be baptized. And some of them, I know, need Christ. And you can have a part in their salvation by lifting them up with confidence to Christ. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I see something in this verse. As we read through verse number 18, we see the focus is totally off of us, totally. I mean, the focus is not on us at all. Praying always. And you know what? The more you spend time in prayer and the more you focus on being someone who's praying in the Spirit throughout the day, the more you're going to find that you're going to go to prayer through the day. You'll be drawn to it by the Holy Spirit because you're doing it. You know, the more you do something, the better you get at it. We can do that with prayer. We can do that with prayer. We can really have confidence. And when we know that we have prayed, we should look with anticipation that Christ is going to do something, and we should be looking for what He's going to do. We should have it in our hearts and our minds that He is going to do something about this prayer. I lifted this up and God's going to work. Let us keep that up in our lives. We all need to be on the journey of prayer. In our first point, we looked at the beginning of the prayer journey. We looked at surrender to follow Christ. One, effective prayer must be empowered by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Two, effective prayer must be from a consecrated heart. Letter B, observed in the life of Christ. Be influenced by those who are experiencing God's power. Two, take steps of faith to see God work personally. This morning we begin point number two, detouring off the journey. Detouring off the journey. I don't like detours, do you? Detours mean I'm losing time. I'm heading into uncharted territory. I'm going on roads I don't know. I don't want to go there. So, if we're on the journey, the prayer journey, we don't want to get detoured off of that, do we? Because we're going into uncharted territory. Places we don't know, don't want to go there. So let's not do that. So letter A, detour of human achievement. Detour of human achievement. Acts 1, 6 through 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In ministry, we can get detoured by human achievement. Number one, the temptation to serve the Lord through our own power. The temptation to serve the Lord through our own power. I've been on both sides of this. I know what that is. I know what that is to try and serve God in my own strength and my own power. Did it for years. Years and years and years. But when you start turning it over to the Lord and depending on Him, wow, what a difference. What a difference. It's like, I don't want to go back to that self-dependence anymore. I don't want to go back to trying to do this in my own power. John 15, 5. I am the vine. Jesus, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. So every time we get up to try to serve the Lord in our own physical strength, our own power, our own abilities, our own talents, our own thoughts, guess what? It's an utter failure. We accomplish absolutely nothing. And I fear that this kind of ministry is even taught to our young people in some places. Where it's up to you and your methods and your plans and the way you do this. That's how you get the kids in. That's how you win people. No, it's not. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So we have to get confident in Christ, not in ourselves. The mutual abiding in Jesus, the I am, and He, the I, in the disciple or disciples means that a disciple must be attached to the divine source in order for fruit bearing to occur. So we have to be with Christ, abide in Christ, abide in His Word, be in prayer, be in trusting in Him. It also explains why the opposite to abiding and bearing fruit is here designated as accomplishing nothing. The radicality of John's gospel should not be missed by familiarity with its words. Nothing is not something. Nothing is nothing in the judgment of Christ. It is still nothing. Such a verdict is not very popular, but it's the central, it is central to this bullseye text, says Gerald Bircher. So I double underline that, for without me ye can do nothing. I am convinced that the reason why many Christians are not busily serving the Lord is because they really think it's up to them. They really think that it's up to their talents and what they can do and what they can dream up and how they can perform. That has to be thrown away totally. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. That's why you get up in the morning and after you confess your sins, you get filled with the Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and you turn your life over to Him and your day over to Him and your moments over to Him and everything you're going to do over to Him. Then you can walk in confidence. Then you'll serve the Lord because I'm not doing this. You're going to do this through me. It's not up to me. It's up to you. So when we're out there, I mean, we ought to just have the old spiritual antennas zoop, way up there. We're already been prayed up, and now we're out there. And what's God going to do with me today? How's He going to use me today? Who's He going to have me witness to today? Who's He going to have me be a blessing to today? Who's He going to have me say a kind word to today? Who's going to get picked up because the Holy Spirit is working through me? You see, doesn't that take a lot of weight off of your shoulders? It's not up to you. You put your trust where it's supposed to be and let God work through you and open the door to that. Say, I realize this, Lord Jesus. Without you, I can do nothing. I need you. I need you. I need you. Number two, the temptation to look to methods and organization to further God's work. The temptation to look to methods and organization to further God's work. Another quote by E.M. Bounds. The other tendency is to thoroughly popularize the ministry. He is no longer God's man, but a man of affairs, of the people. He prays not, because his mission is to the people. If he can move the people, create an interest, a sensation in favor of religion, an interest in church work, he's satisfied. His personal relation to God is no factor in his work. Prayer has little or no place in his plans. Without me, you can do nothing. The plans, the methods, the organization doesn't work. Does not work unless God is doing it, unless God is in it, unless He is behind it. And that has been much of the ministry in the last part of the 20th century and up until now in the 21st century. We have to cast away thinking about methods and start focusing on God and the fact that He wants to use people. That's you. God wants to use you. He wants to make blessings through you. He wants to win souls through you. He wants to work miracles through you and your help. He wants to use you. Letter B is the detour of human approval. The detour of human approval. Number one is human loyalty. Human loyalty. Number two is human insecurity. Passages of Scripture, Luke 9:54 and John 12:43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We are not organizations, we are organisms. We are individual organisms, collectively known as the church. I don't want to spend a lot of time here because I don't think that we're into that. I don't think that's a problem. Okay? I don't think anybody here is all about getting human approval. So let's move on to letter C, which is a problem. Detour of human perspective. The detour of human perspective. Number one, looking at situations humanly. Looking at situations humanly. That's our problem. That's a problem. We're always trying to figure this out. Right? We're trying to get this done. Matthew 17, verses 17 to 20. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Now let's stop right there at that word perverse. What does that mean, really? The term was frequently used to describe a piece of pottery that a careless craftsman had misshaped or that had somehow become distorted before being fired in the oven. So that word perverse is not the way we think it. It's a piece of deformed pottery that has not been taken care of by the craftsman on the wheel to get it right. It was like a Monday-built car. I think I had one of those. You know, there's just something wrong. And why is that sticking up? That shouldn't... So, Matthew 17, 17 and 20, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So what happens in our lives is we get twisted and out of shape in our thinking about how God works. And so we start looking at things from a human perspective, our own perspective. The way the world might even look at it. Instead of saying, no. All right, we're going to get to the Lord on this. We're going to go right to God on this. I'm not going to get detoured on this thing with human perspective. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to look at situations humanly. Here's a neat statement. Any believer who does not genuinely trust God cannot escape having a distorted view of Him and His will. This is a powerful statement. Any believer who does not genuinely trust God cannot escape having a distorted view of Him and His will. I've been preaching for years on faith is trust and dependence on God. And that is what we have to get in here and here. And we have to practice that in our lives. Every day we have to trust God. I don't see this the way you might see this, Lord, but I'm going to trust you to handle this, to deal with this, to make it turn out right, to deliver me, to heal me, whatever it is. So I believe as believers, one of the biggest walls that we have to climb is the wall of trusting God. Trust Him. Yeah, it doesn't look quite right. Oh, I don't know. But hey, you know, that's out the door with that nonsense. And I'm going to trust you, Lord. I know it looks bad. Yep. But you know what? I'm going to trust you. I am going to trust you. I'm going to have a genuine trust in you, Lord. And as I trust in you, then I'm not going to get a distorted view of you and your will from my life. The last thing you want in your life is a distorted view of God's will for you and what He wants of you, right? You don't want to go there. You don't want to have that. You want to have the right view of God, and you want to know what His will is. And so, getting there is, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting this being up here. I'm trusting you. I'm going to seek your face, and I know you're going to make it happen. Let's go home from here today, and let's trust God for everything. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the power of our God. Our God is all powerful. You are all powerful. You're the God of the impossible. You're the God that can do anything. There is none else. Lord, shoot the truths of your word into our hearts that they might be embedded, that we'll have victory, that Satan will be defeated. We know he is a defeated foe, but we ask you every day, defeat his little skirmishes that he tries to make. Beat him down. Push him back. May we rest in our confidence and trust in you and not in ourselves or anyone else. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.